Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, today with my special guest, Dr. Kenneth Stilson, chair of the Dobbins Conservatory of Theater and Dance at Southeast Missouri State University. Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So first, we always like to get to know the person before the program. So before we dive into everything you have to offer there at SEMO, I want to get to know you a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So if you could give us a little bit of your background, your career, and history leading you up to your time at Dobbins Conservatory.
Well, let's see. I've been at Dobbins Conservatory for quite a while now. I'm the founder of the conservatory itself, so I came here in 2001. So this has been 20 years that I've been at Dobbins. And before that, I was the artistic director of Shakespeare in the Park, which is in Fort Worth, Texas. And I was there for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years. And then I founded the Alabama Lyric Theater, which is in Mobile, Alabama. And at the same time, I was also a working actor. I studied with Uta Hagen and Larry Clark were my two primary mentors, and I was working as an equity actor in various live productions, and in everything from Shakespeare to musicals to and I also did a lot of regional film work and television work and, you know, things like that. So I started as an actor. I eventually evolved into a director and an acting coach, and then, you know, worked my way through as an artistic director until I came to Dobbins Conservatory. I'm also the author of Acting is Believing, which is one of the it's a classic text. It was originally written by Charles McGall back in the 1950s. Then it was written by my mentor, Larry Clark. He wrote like 3 editions, and then I've written the last 6 editions, with the next edition coming out this January.
Wow. Wonderful. So you said you were one of the founder, you were the founder of the Dobbins Conservatory. Mm-hmm. So tell us, it is the Conservatory of Theater and Dance. So what are the performance degrees that are offered at Dobbins Conservatory?
Okay, we offer BFA degrees in musical theater, and a BFA in acting, and then a BFA in design and technology. And then, of course, we also offer a BA in theater, you know, as well. Our BFA in musical theater, we're ranked in the top 30 in the nation by Onstage Blog, and the theater program as a whole is ranked as the number one program in the state of Missouri.
That's wonderful. So for the purposes of today's podcast, because most people are listening to us for performance degrees, we're going to chat more about the BFA in musical theater and the BFA in acting degree, and you oversee both of those, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. All right, so before we start breaking those degrees down a little bit more, I like to put my guests on the spot at this point and ask uh-huh. them for their elevator pitch. 60 seconds or less. Why should students be considering Southeast Missouri State?
We are a top professional training program. The students who come into our program are people who want to go into the industry. We are not an education program. We're not training teachers, to go into secondary ed or anything like that. Our program is designed for people who want to go into the entertainment industry. And as actors, whether they're musical theater or whether they are a BFA acting major, most of the people who come into our program are looking to, once they graduate, to go to New York, to go to LA, to go to Chicago. Some of them are thinking like Atlanta or Miami or someplace like that. And we also have students who, once they leave here, they go over to London and try to work in the West End. But the students who come into our program, and what our program is designed for, is people who want to go into the industry. We define the industry as not just live theater, but also film and television, any form of the industry. We also have people who even want to go into the music industry. Their real goal is to become the next Lady Gaga or something like that, who was a musical theater major. You know, so anyway, but that's what our program is designed for, is people who are serious about pursuing a career as an actor in live theater and film and television.
Beautiful. Let's talk about, let's start with BFA acting. Let's say that I am a first year BFA acting student on my way to SEMO. What do I have to look forward to in my first year?
Well, the acting program, we're definitely a Stanislavski-based acting program, as most acting programs are. Every program in this nation is Stanislavski-based. But here at Dobbins Conservatory, you're going to be in acting classes every single semester that you're here, and you're going to be in various types of acting classes. There's a two-year sequence that is a two-year sequence of Stanislavski, but then you're also then going to be going in looking at, more specifically, things like Michael Chekhov. Udo Hagen, of course, was one of my mentors. You're going to be doing some Meisner. You're going to also, while you're here, you're going to be in acting for film and television. You're going to be in improvisation. We have a lot of students who come out of our program, and there's a really strong interest to go to places like Second City. We've had dozens and dozens of our graduates who go to Second City or the Upright Citizens Brigade or, you know, things like that. But you're going to be in various types of acting classes. You're going to be in acting for musical theater. You're going to be in Shakespearean acting. So all different types of acting classes. But then you're also going to be in various body classes, movement classes. You'll be in movement for the actor, different levels of that. We are we have a really strong combat program here. We are the official academic partner of Dueling Arts International. And Dueling Arts International is how students, you'll hear students talk about it all the time, but students getting certified to be combatants. And so you can go through our three different levels of combat training here and come out with certifications in various weaponry and hand-to-hand combat, everything from broadswords to knife fighting to handling guns and things like that. So it's really cool. And Dueling Arts comes to our campus every year, and this is where they do the certifications and training. So that's a huge part of our program. The other part of so you're going to be in acting classes, you're going to be in various types of movement classes, but then you're going to be in vocal classes as well. This isn't singing voice if you're in the BFA acting program. This is movement vocal classes as in simple voice and diction, but also dialect work, dialect training, things of that nature. So you're going to get body, mind, and voice in the actor training program.
And now I'm going to ask about the BFA musical theater program, but could you also speak to whether or not there's any crossover between the two as well?
There's actually quite a bit of crossover, because if somebody is musical theater, they're still wanting to be an actor, and somebody who goes into the goes into the BFA musical theater program, that doesn't mean that their ultimate goal is to only do musicals. It's they're training different skill sets, just like I said with the BFA in acting. If they're in that program, then they're training, body, mind, and voice, okay? The same thing goes if you're in the musical theater part, you're doing body, mind, and voice. Your body work, though, happens to be, instead of things like stage combat and movement for the actor, of course, that's going to be things like jazz and tap and ballet training and hip-hop and jazz funk, and we do even burlesque here, and we do aerial dance, and we do swing dance, and you know, various forms of ballroom, and so your body work is going to be in the form of dance, and then your vocal work, rather than voice for the actor, speaking voice for the actor and things like that, it's going to be of course your vocal training as somebody who's going into the musical theater industry. So you're developing your singing voice. The acting classes, there's going to be a lot of crossover, because in your first 2 years, people who are in the BFA acting program and people who are in the BFA musical theater program are in the exact same acting classes. And then as you get into about your junior year, then the musical theater students will be more in the acting for musical theater, whereas you know the people who are in the acting program may be in Shakespearean acting or acting for film and television, those kinds of things. So in your early time, the acting classes cross over quite a bit. Later, the acting classes become more specialized, you know, as you go through the program. The singing classes and the vocal classes for actors, those are different from the beginning. But the acting classes themselves, and somebody who's in our BFA musical theater program, they're also they audition for straight shows. It's not, again, it's not just isolated to musical theater. And people who are in our BFA acting program are very often in musicals. They're both actor training programs. They're just, as I said, concentrating on different skill sets. And so that's the way that we approach that.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of crossover.
So it sounds like all shows are open to both acting and musical theater students, but are all shows open to the entire university, or are they just within Dobbins, or how does that work?
Well, they're almost exclusively open to our majors, because we have a fairly large program. I mean, we have, in our theater program alone, we have 210 majors here, and so we're not gigantic like NYU Tisch or something like that, but we're considered a large program. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like the football team. You can try out for the football team if you were not recruited in your first year, you can try out, but you're competing against those students who were recruited, and you're also competing, so in this case, you're competing against students who this is what they want to do professionally for a career, and these are the students that we have recruited. So our auditions are open to anybody and everybody, but in the last 20 years, our productions are pretty much, I would say, 99%, you know, within our program, simply because the other students don't have the training and the desire. We feel an obligation to the students who are in our program, to you know, those are the students that we almost exclusively cast.
And this seems like a great segue to talk about how many productions you're working on every year at Dobbins.
Well, we have a main stage season that is 6 productions, but then we have a second stage, or a signature series is what we call it, that is another 6 productions, and then we have a workshop series and a special events series The special events, we do three of those a year, and those are things like cabarets, and they're like, you know, one of them is a jukebox holiday event, and then the other one is a thing that we do called Celebrate the Arts. But then we also are the producer of the Fault Line Film Festival, so we produce, gosh, a dozen or more short student films every year. And then in the workshop productions also, those are as many as the students do. I mean, those are just happening all the time. So it's a pretty busy place. It really is. We are definitely production oriented. I mean, we are we consider ourselves a production-based program. And so there's a lot. So 12 main stage and signature series productions, then along with a lot of workshop productions that are going on all the time. And in the summer, we are the official producer of the Lanford Wilson New American Play Festival. So part of our program that everybody is involved with, whether it's musical theater or acting, is we are the developer of original works. And every year we have about anywhere between 500 and 800 submissions from professional playwrights around the country. And we, using a committee of people all over the country, we narrow that, say, 500, 600, 700, you know, scripts that come in, and we narrow that down to the top five. And from there, we bring in the playwrights over the summer to develop their works here. And then the winner of the Lanford Wilson Festival is then considered for publication with Concord Theatrical, which used to be Sam French. And then we produce the world premiere of that production, of that script, the following season. So the Lanford Wilson Festival is an integral part of what we do here.
Wow, that is much busier than even the busiest regional theater that I could think of with all of those things going on there.
Yeah, it's quite a bit.
Yeah, you mentioned that you actually produce student films too. Is there a film major mm-hmm. there, or is that part of the acting program?
It's both. We work together. There isn't a film major here, but so what we do is we supply the actors, and then the film majors are the ones who are going to be the student directors and things like that. The mm-hmm. scripts are written very often though, because we develop a lot of new scripts. Our students are very interested in writing as well as acting, and so a lot of our students will write 10-minute films, then they will work with a film major who's going to maybe direct the film, and then, you know, our actors will be involved in the films. And so so there's a lot of film work that, you know, that's going on. So hopefully by the time they graduate that they're going to have their initial reel that then they'll be able to, you know, use in postgraduate work.
Let's talk about minors as well. How much opportunity is there for a BFA, either acting major or musical theater major, to take on a minor either within Dobbins in a performing arts minor mm-hmm. or outside?
The BFA degree is by nature a professional degree, and as such, it is not required that you have a minor. However, a lot of students today are coming in with dual credit and AP credit. And so it's not uncommon for a student to enter into any program now and come in with 15, 20, you know, even up to 30 credit hours of college completed by the time they come in as a freshman. And so if a student comes in with a lot of their gen eds completed, then it's not uncommon at all that they want to pick up a minor or, you know, something like that. It's even possible. It's a little difficult to double major, but it's possible to double major if they come in with enough credits. Okay, mm-hmm. But even if a student comes in with no credits, no college credits completed, they are allowed to pick up a minor if they want. It'll just take them longer because the BFA degree is, it's pretty busy. It doesn't have that many electives that a student can take along with that degree, but they can. So rather than being a four-year degree, it may be a 4.5-year degree or something like that if they want to pick up a minor. And common minors for us is TV film. There is a TV film minor that they get. Another one is creative writing, which they would be taking things like screenwriting and creative writing itself, as well as our classes in playwriting and things like that. So they can do that. And then we also have entrepreneurship is another very common minor that they get here for students who have an interest in perhaps eventually going into artistic direction or producing or something like that. And then other ones, they do all sorts of things. And a lot of them even want to do like a dance minor. It's not even uncommon that somebody would get a BFA in acting, but they also have a real interest in dance. And so they'll do a BFA in acting and then get a minor in dance.
Mm-hmm. There's a study abroad program there, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that? I think that that's something actually that you do that's a little different. Normally, study abroad programs in theater are sending kids to London, and you are not. Where are you sending kids?
We send them to Oslo, Norway. We are the official. I'm glad you asked that, by the way. We are the official academic partner of NSKI. It's called Høgskole University, and anyway, but it's a college. It's a and anyway, but they are the only Scandinavian university that specializes in advanced Meisner training and Stanislavski-based training. And they really specialize in TV film, but they also have a musical theater program as well that is in its fledgling years. But they're a very prestigious training program in Oslo, Norway. And it's very interesting how that came to us. It was by happenstance. They used to be the official academic partner of New School in New York. And New School, 3, 4, 5 years ago, dropped all of their exchanges for some reason. I don't have any idea on the inside of that. And it just so happened we were in New York doing some auditions and master classes and things like that. And we were introduced to his name is Frederick, over at, you know, and he just happened to be visiting the Cry Havoc Company in New York, which is our academic partner for our New York showcase. And he happened to be there. And so we had lunch. And it was one of those things that he was saying, well, he was asking me very much like this all about our program. And I was like, well, sure, I'm always happy to talk about, you know, the program and everything. And at the end of the lunch, he said, well, what is, you know, are you interested in maybe doing an exchange? It just so happens we lost our exchange with New School. Would you be, you know, interested in developing this? And so that's how that came about. And then we have a faculty member here. His name is Kit Lavoy, who used to be at Cry Havoc. He was the artistic director of Cry Havoc in New York. And he also had worked with NSKI, and so all of this kind of came about because of Kit and Cry Havoc and all. But our students now, every year, every semester for that matter, NSKI sends students here to study with us, and then at the same time we send an equivalent number of students to Oslo, Norway to study there. And where And so what their students are getting from us is live production experience. And we have an arrangement with them that their students are cast in at least one production while they're here, so they're getting the, you know, that sort of, you know, part of their training, which is you know, different than what it is over there, because they're really focusing primarily in TV film, and so they're getting live theater training with us and performance experiences, and our students are going there and getting a lot more intensive TV film training.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's really cool.
That does sound like a really cool opportunity. A lot of, and not to say anything negative about other schools, because that's not my intentions, but you do start to just hear about, oh, where does your study abroad? Oh, it's in London. Yes, of course. Groundbreaking. But that's really awesome to hear that, that you're doing something different like that. So fast forward to the end of our 4 years together at SEMO. What does the Dobbins Conservatory do to help prepare students for that transition out of academia into the professional world?
That's actually, Tim, what we, I would say that is what separates us from a lot of programs. We always, whenever we're recruiting, we always say that our program is divided into three parts. It's, you know, first and foremost, it's about their training. And we take the training element very, very seriously. And, of course, that's the body, mind, voice. That's this, you know, everything from their traditional classes to, you know, to their training in you know, the various studio classes and things like that. Second part of our program deals with production, which we've talked about. And we try to put a, we try to treat all of our productions as if they, we use the, you know, equity guidelines with all of our productions, how we do, how we run rehearsals, how we run everything from fittings to photocalls to everything, because again, we're training future professionals. This is, you know, so we're giving them that kind of production experience. But the third part of our program is all about career preparation. Our belief is that if you're an artist and you have all of this training and you don't understand that this is an industry, that this is a business, then nobody's ever going to see your art. And so it's very important for us that a student has the training and the understanding of everything from agents and unions, contracts, how to market yourself, how to develop reels, and basically, how do I go from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, in the middle of the country, an hour south of St. Louis, to move to New York City or LA or Chicago or wherever? And so that's a huge part of our program, is teaching them about the industry itself. And we have students in our program from Manhattan and from Los Angeles, and they literally come to our program to study, to learn how to launch a career in the very towns, the very cities in which, you know, where they grew up. And so, matter of fact, we have more students from out of state in our program than we do in state. Matter of fact, probably about two-thirds of our majors are from out of state, but they come from the East Coast, the West Coast, North and South, and they come here to study because they're going to get that kind of, you know, training, but where, but, and then to teach them again, how do I then go back there and how do I launch a career? And so that's a huge part of it. We do that in all of our classes. We have auditioning classes, portfolio classes that talk about the business of acting. But then we also infuse our program with outside professionals. Last year, we did the world premiere of a new Stephen Schwartz musical, and Stephen Schwartz was working with our students. Last summer, we had Lonnie Price, who was working with our students. He came in and directed one of our shows. We brought in Robert Barry Fleming was just here. He's the artistic director of the Actors Theater of Louisville. We have brought in my God, Dan Konecdis, the director of Lysistrata Jones on Broadway, Parker Essie, who is also a Broadway choreographer. So we bring in a lot of outside people who are working with our students, as well as teaching them about the industry, you know, in our classes and everything. And then, of course, we do a we have an intern program where they have to complete a professional internship before they graduate. And then, of course, we do our New York showcase, which is with the Cry Havoc Company in New York. And that's more than just a showcase. That is a week-long series of master classes with industry professionals who are essentially teaching them, okay, not just, you know, they're auditioning for agents and casting directors, but really the more important part about this New York showcase is to teach them, what do I do? How do I move to New York? What do I do when I get here? And so it's a huge transition. No matter where you happen to come from, even a student who comes to us from Chicago, if their goal is to move to New York, that's a huge transition, and you can get lost very easily, you know, in New York. And so we try to work with them that they develop a business plan, very much like an entrepreneur would. They have a business plan on, and so when they get to New York, they have a game plan. And now, of course, their business plan is going to change with every opportunity that comes along. But that's just a really important part of what we do is the business.
Oh, I agree. And that's brilliant that you take so much care to help that transition, because being plopped down in New York City all of a sudden after leaving the security of a 4-year BFA program is a scary thing. Yeah. You mentioned the location of the school, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that and sort of what there is in the area for students if they ever leave campus.
Cape Girardeau is a very typical Midwestern college town. We're on the banks of the Mississippi. I can see the Mississippi River right outside my window here. And so we literally overlook the Mississippi. We're about an hour south of St. Louis, hour and 15 minutes, I think, is what it exactly is. And but Cape Girardeau is a college town. It's a historic college town. Being on the Mississippi River, there's, you know, you've got a lot of the Civil War and 19th century history that goes along with that. The building, the river campus complex, which is where we are, is historic in the sense that it was built in 1842, and it was used during the Civil War, and it was the headquarters of Ulysses S. Grant in his early career, and so it's a very historic town on the Mississippi River. We're the largest town between St. Louis and Memphis. And it's a college town. If you've been to Lincoln, Nebraska, you've been to Columbia, Missouri, or if you've been to Bloomington, Indiana, someplace like that, it kind of has that feel to it, that vibe to it. It's a hub. But it's still rural. It's not pretending that it's a large city or anything like that. It's a small town in the middle of the country. We have a daytime population of around 100,000, so it's about the same size as Lincoln, Nebraska or something like that. And so the bars and the shopping and the restaurants and those kinds of things have that same kind of feel to them.
So other than Dr. Kenneth Silson, who are the other major players in both the BFA acting and the BFA musical theater program that students will be interacting with, both either through their audition process or once they get there?
We have an outstanding faculty here. Kit Lavoie was the former artistic director of the Cry Havoc Company, and so we're still associated with them, of course. And so Kit is our coordinator of acting and musical theater. Jenna Lee Moore from Miami is the head of our vocal, you know, musical, our vocal training program. And so she is just really, and she specializes in musical theater. All of the musical theater faculty that we have here specialize in musical theater. We don't use people from our Department of Music to train our you know, vocal students in musical theater. So they're not getting, although opera is even part of musical theater. I mean, musical theater is like saying the word jazz, and it incorporates all these different genres. But we have Roxanne Wellington, who is a Michael Chekhov specialist. She teaches, of course, our Chekhov training that we do, but then she also is a vocal specialist, so she does the accents and dialects and a lot of the vocal work. She also does part of our intimacy training that we do. Bart Williams is our combat specialist. He comes to us from the Royal Academy of Scotland. He's actually American, but he trained in Scotland. And he is our combat specialist, and he is our link into the Dueling Arts International. And he's really phenomenal. You know, with our pretty large arsenal that we have for for that training. But he also teaches our acting as well. He teaches various Meisner and Stanislavski and also Chekhov as well. And then we've got Ryan Townsend, who also came to us from Miami. And Ryan is one of our vocal specialists. Josh Harvey came to us also from the Royal Academy of Scotland, and he is in our musical theater program. Eden Hildebrand just came to us from San Diego State University in their MFA in musical theater choreography. She's one of our primary choreographers. Philip Edgecombe is one of our choreographers. He's from the University of Arizona and has got a wealth of experience in musical theater. My goodness, there's a lot, but anyway, but terrific people, just absolutely terrific people that they're studying with whenever they get here.
Great. Let's transition now to the last section of our podcast and talk about the audition process. My first question I always ask is, do you pre-screen?
Yes. Yeah, we do. Okay. We pre-screen. We go through the Paper Mill Playhouse pre-screening, and we do that. But then we're very active, in all of our, we do pre-screening through the International Thespian Festival. We do pre-screening through the Southeastern Theater Conference. And so essentially, we also go to we very often go to Michigan Thespian, Missouri Thespian, Illinois Thespian, Arkansas Thespian, Texas Thespian. So we go to a lot of those places to do pre-screening. And then what we do is when we call somebody back at one of those locations, then we are inviting them to then audition for us. So the pre-screening is at all of these various places that we go, and then they audition directly for us. And so the students who are auditioning for us have been vetted at a couple of levels.
So just to clarify, this is for both the BFA acting and the BFA musical theater. There's no change.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Right, we go to the same places for those. Although Paper Mill Playhouse is almost exclusively musical theater. So
right.
We have a lot more musical theater applicants. That's the larger of the two programs. But of course, they're of equal importance. But that's just simply, musical theater is, I think students perceive it as being a little sexier, but the acting program and the musical theater program are absolutely, both of equal importance.
So tell us then, let's do musical theater first, about how many applicants do you have every year for musical theater?
Because of the pre-screen, that's a hard question because it's it's so many. You go to SETC alone, and there may be, you know, there could be 300 or 400 there. You go to Missouri Thespian, and there could be 150 there. Illinois Thespian's probably 250. The International Thespian Festival probably has 500. You know, so each one of those festivals has got, you know, lots and lots and lots of students who are applying, you know. And then from there, in the second wave, whenever they applied then directly to us, we have 300 or 400, you know, who apply. And then in our musical theater program, we accept 25 to 30. And in our acting program, we generally accept around 20. Per year. So it's a fairly, like I said, it's a fairly large program, you know, and so, but anyway, so I would say that our average incoming class, when you include design technology and our BA program, is probably around 65 or 70, you know, as a total. But in musical theater, it's around 25 to 30, and acting, it's around 20.
So the number that a lot of students don't think about often, and I always ask this question too, is how many offers are you usually making to get to that number each year for both acting and musical theater?
You know, that is, I've had this conversation with people across the country, and it is always an educated guess, because you can't just extend 25 offers and expect that those 25 people are going to come to your program. And the way it is, especially with the Common App, and almost every university in this country now doesn't even have an application fee. Used to be that you had to pay for every program that you were, you know, applying for, but that's just not the case anymore. So it's very easy now for a student to apply to a dozen, 15, 20 programs mm-hmm. around the country. And the really good students are going to get accepted into sometimes a dozen different programs. And the trick is this, because the programs, and they will tell, and they will say to us, they'll say, yes, we're coming to Dobbins Conservatory. But then they'll turn right around and say to, let's say, Roosevelt in Chicago, they'll say, yes, I'm coming to Roosevelt. And then they'll say to Webster University or Webster Conservatory, they'll say, yes. And they'll say yes to, like, you know, a number of programs. And so it leaves the program sometimes like a little bit like, all right, who is coming? Mm-hmm. And so you have to do this educated guess on what is the percentage of students that you have accepted that ultimately will sign their housing contract and then come to your university. And it's all based on on past, you know, on your past. So in order for us to get 25 to 30, we generally will have to accept around 75, you know. So, you know, and so then some years out of that 75, you're going to have 23, and then other years you may have 32, you know. And so it's always a little bit of a guess. There's only about two or three programs in the entire country that can accept, but, well, I don't even know about that, because even like the Harvards and the Yales and the, you know, the Elons and places like that, because then, you know, they may say, yes, I got accepted into Harvard, Yale or NYU or something like that, and they say that's my first choice. But then when it comes down to how much is it really going to cost, you know, mm-hmm. so, and then, So they're constantly moving between here's where I'm, and this is why too they will say yes to all of these different programs, and then it really comes down to money.
Yeah.
And so what works, and the reason why we're the size that we are is we have a top flight nationally ranked program, but you can come to school here. You know what the tuition to go to school here is? It's crazy affordable. Tuition to go to school here is around $6,000 a year, $7,000 a year, a year, not semester. So you can go to school here for 4 years for the price of 1 year at a private conservatory or an NYU Tisch. NYU Tisch, I think, is around $55,000 a year for tuition.
Plus.
Harvard, Yale, about the same.
Yeah.
Here, even if it's upwards to like $7,500, you know, we're less than a quarter of the cost of private conservatories.
Yeah.
And yet you're still getting this top flight education. And so when it's all said and done, students are like, you know, they've said yes to half a dozen schools, and then they're like, oh my God, I can go there. And one of our goals is they graduate from our program and they don't have any debt.
Yeah.
And if you're going into this industry, if you are saddled with $50,000, $75,000, $100,000 worth of debt when you are entering into this profession, you're behind the eight ball before you ever get started.
Right.
And so that's what makes our program so attractive to a lot of people.
We actually have a blog post that will be posted by the time this podcast airs called BFA on a Budget, and you are featured as one of the most affordable programs in the country for a BFA program. So they absolutely cost should come into consideration. And you know, I can give examples, as you were mentioning before, I can give examples of some programs in the last couple of years that have gambled on those offers and lost. Then some of them have incoming classes much larger than they anticipated. And then on the flip side of that, I can name a couple of programs that you would normally think, oh, everyone who's offered is going to go there, but they had to burn down through their list quite far last year to fill their class. And it would be schools that you would never imagine that would happen just because of the perception of them. So it's very interesting what has happened as these numbers of applicants just keep going up and up and up every year. And I often wonder, just sitting in this industry, there's going to be a solution. There's going to be, the bubble's going to burst. Someone's going to come up with something, but it's not, it just can't continue on this trend the way it is.
No, it can't. Education, yeah. I don't even know how a lot of the privates are going to survive. And I'm not, I used to work at a, you know, couple of private universities, and it's gotten so, I don't know how a middle class, even upper middle class, can even afford those private conservatory, you know, expenses. I just don't know how they can do it.
Well, for that matter, the middle class people, families having to struggle just to pay for the audition process because, you know, you need to audition for upwards of 20 programs now, and there's $100 plus price tag with application and audition fees for all of those. So, let's hope someone starts a discussion sometime soon. Maybe I guess it'll have to be me at some point or something, but we've got to do something. Dr. Stilson, tell us something that you are looking forward to.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I'm always looking forward to our next productions. I mean, the students here are just crazy talented. You know, I'm doing Carrie right now. And what's funny is we're opening it in December, so we're calling it, you know, Carrie the Musical, a holiday, you know. I'm kidding. But anyway, I'm doing Carrie the Musical. And it is opening in December, so there is an irony there. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to we're doing SpongeBob the Musical in the spring. I have a daughter who's 21 years old, which means that for, you know, the entirety of I watched SpongeBob from its inception all the way to present day because I love that so much. I'm looking forward to this year's Lanford Wilson Festival. There's just so much that's just going on, around here. But I'm just always looking forward to the next thing, and so we've got a lot going on. And on top of that, my next book is coming out in January. So Acting is Believing. It's coming out with Roman Littlefield out of the DC area. But anyway, that's coming out in January. So, but I'm looking forward to that too.
Well, that is a lot to look forward to. Tell us if students or parents want to get more information on the program at Dobbins Conservatory. What's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, it's www.cmo.edu and then /theater and dance and spell out the word and theater is spelled with an R-E. So www.cmo.edu/theater and dance. And that'll take you to our website. And then you'll see something as you scroll down. It says auditions and it'll tell you about it. But then you can also contact me through there or Kit Lavoie. Most of our questions in the acting musical theater program come directly to Kit. So you can, you know, contact him, but he makes all of those arrangements and everything as the coordinator of those programs.
Great. Well, thank you so much once again for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you around here again real soon.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the opportunity and thanks so much for your interest in our program. And anyway, I appreciate, you know, everything. It's a beautiful place to study.
Well, I look forward to sending some students there. Have a great day, Dr. Tilson.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.